Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Come on. Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Tom Freilich. Tom, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready, George. Let's do it.
All right, let's go. Tom is the CEO of Freilich Publishing. He's a veteran book publisher. He's a published author himself. He is a member of the John Maxwell team. Excited to have you on. Tom, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, sounds good. Personal life. Well, I'm a husband and a dad, live in the Washington, D.C. area, although I say Washington, D.C., we're a bit out. We're about 50 miles west of, almost into the mountains, so live in more of a rural community. Moved out here about 7 years ago to get out of the hustle and bustle and the mess called Washington, D.C., the zoo called Washington, D.C., so... I love to fish and love to camp when I can and just have a good time.
Nice. I appreciate that. You've been in the book publishing world for a long time. How did you get started in that?
Oh, man, I got started by accident. I took a job as a telemarketer for a book publisher. This was back when there were, maybe 20 or 30,000 bookstores in the United States. And I just spent all day getting on the phone with bookstore owners and selling them books, and the rest is history. I've been involved in book publishing in some fashion or form ever since.
Telemarketing, so you're just constantly calling on local bookstores, 20 to 1,000.
This is when they took the calls and they looked forward to talking to publishers about what their new releases are and such, and they would buy, loads of books by telephone. And I miss those days, actually. Those were really fun days in the world of book publishing and book selling.
Is there a right time to look to and say this was the golden age of book publishing, or are we there now?
I guess it depends on your perspective. There are more books being sold now than ever before, unquestionably. But it is a different landscape. The biggest difference being the bookstores were once the gatekeepers of the book selling world, and they are no longer, of course. Amazon is primarily, not exclusively, but primarily. So I guess it just depends on your perspective. Some would say that now is the golden age. I would probably say that when bookstores were alive and well was, at least from my perspective, was the golden age.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I probably would have said that the publishers were the gatekeepers.
Mm. Well, yes and no. It was the bookstores who decided what was going to get on the shelf.
Yeah.
And it was the bookstores who decided what was going to be placed in the front of the store, which books were going to be, sideways on the bookshelf, which ones were face out. Mm. So they really did. They had a lot of a power, I guess you would say. And they were also on the front lines with the customers. So a lot of times bookstores could tell us, the publishers, what was working, what was not working. Sometimes they would have some of the best ideas because, they're the ones interacting with the customers. So in that way, publishers are not the gatekeepers. And I would say even today, even more so, because there's a lot of other ways to publish a book now than there used to be. You do not necessarily have to use a book publisher anymore. You can do it on your own.
Yeah, interesting. So you mentioned that when you were making those phone calls, there were 20 to 30,000 bookstores. How many are there now?
I don't have an exact count. There's less than 5,000. But a lot of those are may not actually be bookstores per se. They might be gift shops or, similar stores that carry books. And some of the independent stores are very small. We only have a couple of big chains left, Barnes & Noble. There are some Books A Million stores left. As far as the big chains go, those are primarily gone also.
Yeah, it's certainly been an interesting experience, and for me, just casually, for you, this is certainly what you do. So, you mentioned that there are more books being sold today than ever before.
Mm-hmm. Yes, significantly more, and since the pandemic, a significant increase. You could probably say a huge increase in book sales since February 2020. There's several reasons for that. Number one, people just have more time at home than they used to. They're not going out as much, so they're reading more. And I think for a lot of people, the last couple of years has been a huge transition and a huge challenge. And a lot of times people will turn to books for help when trying to figure out their problems, trying to figure out their future. So, and the third reason is children have been at home a lot more. So children's books, juvenile books, books for kids, they have skyrocketed in sales over the last 2 years.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that. Just honestly, I think that's certainly a positive thing.
For sure.
How have podcasts affected books?
Yeah, that's a great question. In a pretty significant way, I would say. Back in, quote unquote, the day, it was all TV and radio. And you were somewhat limited because there were only so many radio programs, and they tended to be more, I guess, generic in nature, whereas today's podcasts are more niche. So, and books are niche. So if you have written and published a book, let's say a business book, for example, in that category, well, there's a lot of podcasts that cater to business people, right? So in that way, podcasts, I would say, are one of the leading vehicles for authors to talk about their books and get the word out on their books. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, fascinating. We've certainly had, I don't even know, hundreds of authors probably, certainly on the show. And it's been a really neat experience just to be able to learn about their motivation for writing the book and to learn about their process for writing and all that good stuff. And now I want to learn a lot about what it is that you're doing now, pardon me, but I also want to learn about moving forward as you're reading the tea leaves when we have things like NFTs and just the world seems to be changing faster and faster and faster, what you see as the future of book publishing.
Okay. Yeah, it's the Wild West for sure. But you know, it's interesting. I've been asked this question or similar question for about 15 years or so, maybe even longer when the ebook came out, right? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, not a heck of a lot has changed. You know, there are ebooks, there are audiobooks. One of the changes in audiobooks soon will be that the narrators won't be real live voices anymore. The technology is, I understand, about 12 to 24 months away from the voices being completely, what would you call them? Well, they're bots, but you can hardly tell the difference. You can't tell the difference at all. But at the end of the day, it's this that still sells. It's the print book, and the old fashioned paper, you know, bound print book, 80 to 90% of our sales are still print books. It's not eBooks. It's not audiobooks. It's still print. So whatever the future holds for book publishing, I can guarantee you at the end of the day, it's the end result is going to be books that are printed and bound on paper. And that's what people like to read. So, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen, probably a lot of unpredictable things. But I can guarantee you at the end of the day, it's just the old fashioned print paper books that people are going to be reading.
Yeah. Going to be around for a little while longer anyway. So
I think so. Yeah.
Good enough. So you are, and have been now since you started making those phone calls, however many years ago that was, and now I'm sure that you've been involved with writing tons of books and you published tons of books. For somebody that says, you know, Tom, I've been thinking about writing my own book, what is your advice to them?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Another question I'm asked frequently. Number one, I'd get some help. Find somebody with real experience to help you with the process. Don't try to do it on your own. We do live in an age of, you know, DIY, do it yourself, right? But I advise people not to do that. Find somebody who really understands what they're doing. And secondly, you got to think about the reader when you write. You have to think about your audience. Oftentimes writers end up writing to themselves, not to the reader. Readers read books, in my opinion, for two reasons, to solve a problem or to escape a problem. That's why fiction is so popular. It's an escape. It's like going to the movies. But a lot of us turn to books to fix things in our lives. So you have to think about the problem or problems the reader is experiencing and then write it in such a way that they're going to be able to fix or somehow solve their problem. A lot of people write books about their own stories, their own life experiences, which is good, but you have to make sure to extend that and not just tell your story, but tell it in a way that the reader is going to find ways to use your story to improve their life.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Nice. I appreciate that. Can anybody write a book? Do I need to have a background writing?
I would say no. It's like asking, can anybody paint a painting? Well, I guess anybody could. I don't know that anybody could write a good book. That being said, everybody can try. Maybe everybody should try. There certainly are many examples of best-selling books that were written by folks who never wrote before or didn't, you know, write much before. So I guess some encouragement and some discouragement. I think perspective is important. You know, I get, you know, sometimes authors will tell me their book is going to sell 1 million copies. And it might, but you got to watch your perspective and your expectations on that. Keep them realistic.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It'd be awesome for everybody if they did sell 1 million copies. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about why people are writing books these days, the kind of books that you are helping people to write, and then how you set proper expectations.
Mm-hmm. Again, most of the time, authors, writers are writing out of their own life experiences. And I think some of that is almost therapeutic. It is therapeutic, actually, to write about your life experiences. That's the primary reason why you know, people write books. Usually they've overcome something, right? They're on the backside the back end of what they struggled with, or maybe they're in the middle of a struggle, you know, I don't know. But that's the primary reason why people write books. They want to tell their story. And it's a good reason. It's a great reason. Again, you have to make sure to tell it in such a way that the reader is helped by it. But, you know, that's most of the time. That's why people come to me and ask me for their help in writing and publishing their book.
And so you say, great, this is you have an amazing story. I think that'll really resonate with people. How do you then kind of walk me through those steps? I'm sure it's setting a timeline. It's figuring out like how many are we really going to try to sell? Walk me through all that.
Yeah. You know, the average book today sells between 2,000 and 3,000 copies. So that's average. You know, a lot of books don't even sell that many. Now, some will sell in the tens or hundreds of thousands. I tell authors it's a marathon and not a sprint. There are many occasions when a book doesn't catch on right away. But, you know, a book is always new to somebody who's never read it before. So be patient with the process. There are many stories of books that didn't sell for years. Man, there's books that didn't sell till after the author passed away before they started to sell well. Mm-hmm. So, you have to really keep that, you know, in perspective. Unless you're a big name, a celebrity, the chances that your book is just going to take off immediately are slim to none. So, you know, have patience with it. And remember, too, that it's a book. It's all about the words in the book, right? It's not a coffee mug. It's not a gift item. It's a book. It's important to in some way find a way to get your words out there, whether that's blogging, whether that's social media, whatever that might be. You got to stay out in front of people. And the best way to do that as a writer is to keep on writing and catch people's attention with your words.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Best ways to keep on writing. So does that mean more books? Does that mean starting a blog? Does that mean all those things?
All of those things. I do encourage authors to blog, or, you know, maybe use social media to blog, you know, whether or not you want to put your words on Facebook or in short form on Twitter or whatnot. But keep on writing. You know, the more you write, the better you get. So for sure.
Nice. And what is there a typical time that it takes somebody to write a book, the amount of time? And then from the time that they engage with you, are people often, do they have a book written? Are they halfway done?
It's all of those things. It took J.K. Rowling 10 years to write her first Harry Potter book. So there is no timeline. I would say, though, most of the time our authors take about 6 months to a year is probably average. 6 months is pretty fast. We've actually done them quicker than that. When authors approach me, it's one of three things. They're finished with their manuscript and they're ready for it to be edited. They're halfway there. They're somewhere in between, or they haven't started at all. And all of those three situations are fine. We kind of like to be involved as early on in the process as possible, because we feel like we can add more value to the writing process. And we feel like the book will end up being a better book if we're involved early on in the project. It's not always the case, but that's kind of what we prefer.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So this is probably a question I should have asked right at the top, but what does a publisher do?
That's a great question. A publisher, they're not a printer, by the way. They don't print books. And they don't sell books except to the bookstore. They don't sell them directly to the consumer. A publisher is a creator of an art form, of a book. Publishers help authors write and edit good books, right? At the end of the day, well, let me say this. So authors will ask me oftentimes, how do I market my book, right? How do I sell my book? My answer is, we'll write a good book. Right. And that's what publishers do. They help authors write good books that are going to be marketable. And of course, they're involved in designing that book. Right. Typesetting that book, essentially creating the product and then managing the distribution of that product to the retail environment. Right. Whether that be brick and mortar or online. But primarily, you have to look at it as a book publisher, as somebody who understands what makes a book sell, and then helps the author create that product. It's not as easy or as simple as you might think it is. So like everything else in life, right? It all looks easy, but it rarely is. So I don't know if that helps answer your question, but.
No, it does. I appreciate that perspective. And if anything, I would think it'd be really, really hard to get a book to sell, because you can write the greatest screenplay in the world, the greatest book in the world. You can be the greatest musician in the world, but if nobody ever hears your music or reads your book or is aware that it exists, then it doesn't really matter. So it has to be packaged correctly.
It's true. It's a little harder than music too, because you know, a song is what, 2, 3, 4 minutes, you know? So it doesn't take nearly as much time to capture somebody's attention with a song as with a book, right? You know, for somebody to like your book, they have to spend more than 2 or 3 minutes reading it. So it's more challenging, I would say, than music is.
Do you view yourself as like a partner to the author then? I imagine that they either pay you up front to help you with this, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we operate in what's called a hybrid model. So it sits between traditional publishing and self-publishing. But essentially, authors pay us a fee to help them create, publish, distribute, and sell their book. We do it like a traditional publisher does it. We perform or behave the same way as a traditional house, but we do not assume all of the risk, at least all of the financial risk. So partnership is a good word to use. And And hybrid publishers tend to give their authors or allow their authors to retain most of the rights to their book, whereas a traditional publisher does not. If you sign with a Random House or a Penguin, you know, you're going to be sure they're going to own all the rights to your work, extended all the way to video, audio, ebook, motion picture rights. If you publish a book and with, let's say, a Random House, and somebody decides to make a movie based on your book, guess who's going to make most of the money? Random House, not the author. We don't do that. We let the author retain all of their rights to their book, but still help them publish it in a traditional manner.
Nice. I love it. Well, Tom, people are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Making tip. I would say be flexible. If I've learned anything in 30 years of publishing books and as an entrepreneur, it's don't get too stuck on your own ideas. Try to peer around the corner and remain flexible as you continue to build and create and grow.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Tom, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you and how can they engage with you?
Sounds good. Yeah, just visit my website. It's freilingpublishing.com, and that's F-R-E-I-L-I-N-G, freilingpublishing.com, and would be happy to chat with anybody and answer any other questions and talk about your book.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Tom your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to freilingpublishing.com. That's F-R-E-I-L-I-N-G, publishing.com, and take Tom up on his offer to explore the process. Thanks again, Tom.
Thanks, George. Have a great one.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight as we are all in this together.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.